Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
You've got casinos operating at 50% capacity with hundreds, thousands of people going through them, and you've got these churches limited to 50 people. I think the proof is in the pudding.
Divorce is really just the kickoff of a lifetime of transition, loss, and instability for kids. And if you're a child of divorce, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Those who view science and faith as enemies understand neither.
Muhammad, he wants you to believe him on force. For Jesus, he does things to make you want to believe him.
Parents trying to attend a virtual conference with a toddler in the living room. Love Issues, etc.
Fire has become a symbol of late. I guess it always has been a very powerful image. So, protesters trying to burn down a police station night after night after night, throwing Molotov cocktails into parked and already vandalized police cruisers. But what if the fuel for that fire is a couple of Bibles? What if the fuel for that fire were a couple of copies of the Quran? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about media coverage of a Bible burning at a Portland protest. Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of Get Religion, will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Will Wheaton in our series, The Words of Scripture. Today, we continue the word blessed, this time in the New Testament. Then, Molly Hemingway, a Fox News contributor, joins us to get an update on the November elections. Joining us to discuss media coverage of a Bible burning at a Portland protest, Terry Mattingly. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Was the burning of a few Bibles there recently in Portland during a protest, was it a real story?
That depends on how big a story you think it was. There's no question, at least I haven't seen anyone question, whether or not there were one or two Bibles burned. And it also, an angle of this that I feel nobody's talking about, it does seem that whoever was burning this little fire in Portland in the street seemed to go out of their way to make sure the Bible was open so that you could read Holy Bible, you know, on the front sheet, the front page. So it's like they wanted people to know that they were burning a Bible. Now, the question of how many Bibles were in there, you see some people, in social media, of course, this turned into stacks of Bible, or that it was a deliberate book burning. Then in other places, you saw a few Bibles. By the time it gets to the New York Times, in a story, the wonderful headline, A Bible Burning, a Russian News Agency, and a Story Too Good to Check Out, the Times reported that it was a disinformation story to say that the protesters had burned Bibles. And this, of all the crazy paragraphs in recent coverage of these sorts of things, this must be one of my favorites. Listen to the twist in this. The story was a near perfect fit for a central Trump campaign talking point that with liberals and Democrats comes godless disorder, and it went viral among Republicans within hours of appearing earlier this month. The New York Post wrote about it, as did the Federalist, saying that the protesters had shown their true colors. Senator Ted Cruz, the Texas Republican, said of the protesters, "This is who they are." Donald Trump Jr., the president's son, tweeted the Antifa had moved to the book burning phrase. Here's the twist. The truth was much more mundane. A few protesters among the many thousands appeared to have burned a single Bible and possibly a second for kindling to start a bigger fire. Okay. Raise your hands if you think it's significant that they just burned the Bibles as kindling instead of like tossing them on a fire. I mean, that was my favorite detail in the whole thing. The question here is, was the burning of the Bibles a symbolic act? And it would appear to me that unless it was a Russian agent who came in, put the Bible there, opened it to where everybody could read Holy Bible, and then let the thing go up in flames, along with, you know, a flag and a few other things, and possibly another Bible or two, it definitely was intended as a symbolic act. And the minute I saw the Times story, I went to a search engine, and I typed in a name. And this name may sound familiar to you. Do you remember Pastor Terry Jones?
I don't. It doesn't ring a bell. Fill us in.
Okay, how about this? Dove World Outreach. Okay, this is the pastor, the Pentecostal independent, as almost all of these crazy stories are. It's a totally independent church. Pastor Terry Jones is the guy who became a world famous figure for his burning of a single Quran and threatening to burn others. He was burning the Quran as a protest of an Iranian pastor who had been jailed for many years. And this all went down in about 2012. And if you go online and search for this guy's name, there are dozens and dozens of major media stories about him. He was a national figure. There were questions about whether what he was doing was disrupting the peace, which meant that maybe they should go arrest him ahead of time before he had a chance to burn a Quran because it provoked violence and all that other stuff. Now, I'm not trying to draw some sort of direct parallel here, but it is interesting that burning a Quran and then threatening to burn Qurans is a global story. In the New York Times, CNN, and everywhere else, it's a big story. But the deliberate burning of a couple of Bibles and an American flag in a violent part of a protest in Portland, that is automatically disinformation for people to be upset about the burning of those Bibles. Did that strike you as interesting?
Yeah, and I also recall, because I have a memory a little longer than just a couple weeks, that at least the DC media, if not kind of the major media, made a pretty big deal about the president standing in front of an Episcopal church at Lafayette Park holding a Bible.
That was a pretty big story. I mean, so now this gets us into another subject here, which is, did some people blow the story out of proportion? And I'd be willing to say yes. That's the sort of thing that happens in social media when you're dealing with really emotional visual symbols. And there's no question that this video turned into, I would be willing to say, a bigger story than it was. But I'm willing to ask the question, why wasn't it, to the Eastern press, why wasn't it a big story? And the headline on the New York Times piece, the part of it, "A Story Too Good to Check Out," suggests that the conservative media that ran the story should have somehow flown to Portland and somehow managed to check out that it wasn't a stack of Bible. Although, I haven't seen a story yet that said it was a stack of Bibles. So I'm going to keep looking to see if I can find one. I haven't read the New York Post story, for example. But they definitely said that they burned some Bibles. Now, I don't know when two Bibles as kindling turns into some Bibles. But it seemed to me that the question that most important is, were the Bibles burned intentionally? And to me, walking up to the fire and opening the Bible up so that you can read Holy Bible amid the flames made it look symbolic. Now, the video footage that became famous was from a Russian TV agency. Now, this leads into the possibility, another subject that needs to be discussed is, are Russians interested in promoting stories that pry open divisions in American politics and political life right now? Certainly, yes, they are. Certainly, they want viral videos, and they're perfectly happy to do it with viral videos that make Americans mad. But do you think right now that Russians are the only people right now deliberately producing viral images that make Americans mad? That seems like a national pastime right now. So there's no question that manipulation of the news is a part of this story. But stop and think of it this way. Would it have been less viral if CNN had videotaped the burning of the Bibles? I think it's just as likely to have gone viral and to have provoked a firestorm in the media if CNN or MSNBC or Fox or some other group that was there. The interesting question to me is, isn't it an interesting comment that they're saying that Russian cameras are going out of their way to film violent sections of these protests, knowing that it would make Americans mad? Is part of the implication there that some, not all, some American TV stations are going out of their way not to film violent sections of these protests? I think that's a question that really needs to be asked here. If only a Russian station or a Russian video agency caught this image, that's an interesting question in and of itself, because I don't think there's any question that it was not faked. This really did happen. The question is, what did it mean and how big a deal was it? And how big a story it should be is the part I think we should all be discussing. The fact that it was a valid story, an accurate story that someone burned Bibles, and that this was a deliberately provocative act, I think of all those things are, you know, are factually proven pieces of information.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a Bible burning at a Portland protest. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. When we come back, so if the New York Times doesn't think it's a story, how did they turn it into a story? Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation. The entire cost is approximately $350,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of a Bible burning at a Portland protest. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, I'm wondering, what does Black Lives Matter mean in the case of this story of the Bible burning?
Well, this gets us back to something we've talked about before, which is trying to figure out the different layers of these protests. What parts of the protests are violent? What parts are not violent? And what parts of these protests are actually being led by veteran civil rights leaders, many of whom have connections to Black American churches? Now, if you dig down in the Times story, there's a very interesting detail, which was that we don't really know how big a deal these Bibles being burned were. It might have been a cell, a small group of protesters. The Russian video turns it into a very important event. It does appear to have been symbolic to the people who did it. I just don't buy this thing that they were just like, oh, we need some kindling. Hey, let's throw a Bible on there. The Times does have some interesting material, one of which is that, no surprise, there were people, kind of counter-protesters, handing out Bibles at this demonstration. You know, you can picture, it doesn't surprise me a bit, that there would be evangelicals who would show up at these protests and hand out Bibles. That doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you?
Not at all.
Not at all. So would it surprise you that there would be some protesters who would find that either offensive or hilarious for evangelicals to hand out Bibles? I find that logical. The fact that a couple of them chose to throw these into a fire, that strikes me as logical as well. The Times is very upset that the Russian TV station edited this film to make it say that this was a big event at the protest. I don't think it doesn't appear to be a huge event with lots of people crowding around, but it was a symbolic event to some protesters. Now, what the Times article did run down is that a local CBS affiliate, which had the only other footage of the Bibles burning, noted that a group called Moms United for Black Lives Matter attempted to put out the fire, a detail not included in the Rupley video, which was edited to string together a number of clips from the night. Now, once again, there are all kinds of protesters in these scenes. In many cases, we've had mom groups try to serve as peacemakers between the cops and the violent protesters. We've also had demonstrations by Black religious groups. Now, I don't know if Moms United for Black Lives Matter, I could see that being a church group. I mean, that to me sounds like the name of, I could see several Black churches and other churches in the area getting together, Moms United, to come down and try to do peaceful demonstrations. And apparently these people tried to put out the fire with the Bible in it. I have heard of numerous other circumstances where Christian groups affiliated with the African American church and some of their white allies and whatever have, in effect, done counter protests to the violent demonstrators. Now, which of these groups deserves to be called Black Lives Matter is one of the ongoing problems in all of the press coverage of this event. Because if you actually look at the charter of the organization called Black Lives Matter, I think it is accurate, whether you're a Russian or not, it's accurate to say that Black Lives Matter, the organization, includes material in its charters and stuff that is hostile to Christianity, if not hostile to conservative Christianity or traditional Christianity. I think that's been proven at this point as a statement of fact. However, is it also factual that a wide variety of other groups are marching under the banner Black Lives Matter, like Moms United for Black Lives Matter? We don't have the facts here, but if that was a church group, do you assume that those Moms United for Black Lives Matter who tried to put out the burning of the Bibles, isn't it safe to say that they're probably not an anti-Christian group? It seems logical to me that, once again, part of the confusion in all of this is a gaping hole in the national coverage of these protests, which is, who are the leaders of the violent demonstrations and who are the leaders of the peaceful demonstrations? We have, I mean, if you look at any history of civil disobedience and also legal civil protests to achieve specific causes, you will almost always find the African American church at the center of those causes and the center of those events. To me, what's really interesting about this is, once again, we seem to have had, if not a clash, certainly competing demonstrations between people who were there to burn things and to do some symbolic actions, such as burning a few Bibles open to where you can make sure you read it says Holy Bible. Then you have these other demonstrators also identified as Black Lives Matter, as if they were a part of the same protest or the same demonstration. And it seems highly likely to me that this is a completely different group with completely different motives and maybe even completely different aims. The stories I have seen about black church leaders and stuff, the black church leaders seem much more interested in police reform, which is a completely different cause than trying to shut police stations down, let alone burn them. Those are completely different causes. And if you've been following some interesting polls and stuff in the past week, as it turns out, white liberals are infinitely more interested in shutting police down than normal African American citizens in the United States, who, if anything, are telling pollsters they don't want police presence in their sections of the cities lessened. They would like reform. They would like to see some changes in how the police do their work. They would like body cameras. They would like stricter standards on no-knock raids and a host of other things. But they're not trying to shut the police down. And often, they're even praising the police who are doing their jobs well. So I think one of our takeaways from this is, are there Russian attempts to blow these things up into divisive stories? Yes. But even the Times story says that the best Russian, and it calls them disinformation campaigns, the best Russian stories to blow up contain a kernel of truth. Well, it seems to me that the actual beliefs of the organization Black Lives Matter is more than a kernel of truth. It seems to me that the size of this demonstration that involved the burning of the Bibles is, yes, precisely what people needed to be investigating. But I still find it interesting that the burning of Bibles is automatically seen, you know, just used as kindling, is automatically seen as no big deal, no news here, move on. If you make a big deal out of it, you're just trying to stoke hate. Whereas, you know, a number of years ago, an effort to burn a Quran, another very explosive, very symbolic act, was turned into an international news story, all the way down to the potential arrest of a minister before he did this second act of burning either a lot of Qurans or a couple of Qurans. So what we see here again is, at the very least, not all scripture burnings are created equal, and not all demonstrators who want to burn scriptures are created equal. At the very least, we have to come away with that lesson learned.
Here is my frustration with the media very broadly defined here, and that includes stuff you read on Twitter. My first reaction to seeing the video of the Bibles being burned was to ask, is this just an isolated incident? Is this just one or two people being watched by a crowd doing this, or is this happening all over these protests? And yeah. I'm stuck between someone saying, like Donald Trump Jr. saying, Antifa has moved on to the book burning phase, which to me is not accurate. Mm-hmm. We don't know who was burning the Bible or why. And I'm stuck between that and the New York Times dismissing it as Russian disinformation. And if you believe it, you're kind of a rube. There's got to be something in between to provide me with some of the facts. About a minute here. Where do you go to get those kinds of answers in the middle of a protest?
That same question, isn't it? You and I, we face it over and over. And the simple fact is, America, I'm going to say not where they should go, because I don't know where they should go right now. But I tell you where they are going. Americans are going to the media that will tell them what they want to hear. And that's, once again, the danger here. That's the danger of one side saying this was the focus of the demonstration. This is horrible, Trumpian language. They've moved on to book burnings. At the same time, you go to the other extreme, which is burning of Bibles intentionally isn't a symbolic act. They just were trying to keep warm. It was just kindling. And anybody who says otherwise are alt-right people who are trying to blow America up. Shouldn't there be something somewhere in the middle of that? And for those of us who love old-fashioned journalism and think America is suffering from a lack of it right now, that is, going into this campaign, a symbolic statement of a bigger issue. If you want to know what's actually going on in this campaign, and you want to see both sides of it treated fairly, where the heck are you supposed to go right now to get your news?
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overbee Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Pastor Will Wheaton joins us on the other side of this break. Our series, The Words of Scripture, continues. The word is blessed. We're picking up from an Old Testament conversation going into that word in the New Testament. Stay tuned.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will, and us who rightly seat us.
The 21st century.
What my Lord wants, the nation sees. What my Lord wants, what time for me.
The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at redeemernashville.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.